We are up to getting Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We got to the two dots, also known as a colon. She'im yirte shlo lazim v'chule. We were talking about whether it's a zachm la'adam shlo l'fana or a chavin la'adam shlo l'fana. When a master tells his servant that he's freed, so then that's a zechiah, that's a merit. That slave is like, yeah, I'm out of here. And therefore, even if one were to do it through a messenger, the second you give it to the messenger, the slave is free. And that's why, according to the Rabbanan at least, you can't go and stop the messenger anymore. The deed is done. When it comes to a wife, however, a wife who is being supported by her husband is getting the food that she wants, so then it's not a great thing. It's not a great thing that she's getting divorced. So that when the husband gives the get to a messenger, it doesn't happen automatically. Because that messenger is not doing a good thing on her behalf. And therefore, it actually lends to a leniency. Because once it's not a good thing for her, the messenger's acceptance of the get doesn't make it already happen right now. And that's why the husband's allowed to stop it whenever, you know, as long as the messenger hasn't gotten there yet. Not a problem, but that the shlichus doesn't really take effect until the other person knows about it. If it's a good thing, so even if the other person doesn't know about it, I can accept it for them, and they already have it. It's like it's already happened, even though they have no idea it happened. But because it's a good thing, we assume that it already happened. Okay, you can accept that upon someone else's behalf. Yeah. So it says the Gemara Im Yirtzeh Shlo Lazim V'chulei. So then, if the master decides, I'm not going to support my slave anymore, so then good. That's a good thing, Rashai, because the slave's like, yeah, okay, fine. You don't want to support me? I'm out of here. But if the husband wants, that's a bad thing. You're not allowed to do that. Shemas mina yachol harav lomar la'eved. The master's allowed to say to his servant, Asei imi v'eini zancha. Do my work, but I will not give you any sustenance. That's the implication, because we just said that if a master says, I don't want to support you, so then he's allowed. So that means he's allowed to say, just, I'm not going to support you. So Hachamai Eskina says, no, the Amalei Seyma Asei Odachal Mizonasecha, that when you do work, you can use your work to pay for yourself. Right? The master gives him, you know, autonomy over his own labor. So says the Gemara, the Kavasa Gabi Isha, similarly when it comes to a woman, the Amar Lat Ima Sedach Mizonasayach. So why don't we say the same thing by a woman? Why can't the husband similarly say, I'm not going to sustain you, but feel free to make your own way, make your own parnasa. So Gemara says, Isha Amailo, why isn't the husband allowed to do that? So Gemara says, Isha Bidlo Safka. We're talking about a woman who's not able to do that. Meaning she doesn't have the skills, or the skills that she has aren't something people are willing to pay for. So therefore, even if the husband has that license to say to her, why don't you get supported by your own work? If she can't be supported by her own work, so then it falls back on the husband, right? There is some commitment the husband is bound to taking care of his wife, regardless of whether she's capable or incapable. Says, wait a second, Eved Nami below Sapik, why can't the Eved be the same case? Meaning, if we're going to make a distinction between the man and the woman, then the distinction can't be situational. It has to be based on the category of a man versus a woman. So you can't just say, oh, by the woman case, it's when she can't support him. But by the Eved, it's not when he can support himself. No, clearly the Mishnah is talking about a distinction between the two, meaning that the same situation would yield different results. So says the Gemara, Avda Dana Home, Kreisei Lo Shavya. When it comes to the Eved, it's not the same kind of filling work, something like that. Let me see.
So you want to work the bread you can
see. Avda Dana Home, Kreisei Lo Shavya. The Eved's work is a net loss to the master, basically. Lemare lemare se lemaim is by. So in that case, where the Eved's costing them more than they are getting from him, so then they're cutting him off. And that's why he's allowed to basically say, the master's allowed to say, okay, you're not my responsibility anymore. But when it comes to a woman, he is committed to her regardless. And it's not a dollars and cents question when it comes to the woman. When it comes to the Eved, it's a dollars and cents. Does the budget work out? Is our intake more than our output? So for the Eved, it didn't work. So then fine. But when it comes to a woman, it's not a dollars and cents question. You don't budget for a wife. You know, some people, nowadays, unfortunately, there's a lot of discussion now about budgeting for children. Is it worthwhile having children? It's not a dollars and cents question. You bring children into the world. That's like a moral good. It's not like it's not a question. Does a wife cost you more money? I guess people have heard that conversation also recently. Should you get married? Is it worthwhile getting married? Oh, you did dollars and cents, right? I think there's a well-known episode with, who was it? I think it was Einstein. It was one of these other brainiacs, who did like a pros and cons list. You know what I'm talking about? One of these brainiacs did a pros and cons list. And the cons way outweighed the pros in terms of getting married. And then he got married anyway. they said, well, what gives? I thought you were this intellectual, you think everything through, pros and cons. Love is different, it doesn't work by pros and cons. It's not a budget thing, it's not a dollars and cents question. So that's what it's saying here. The Eved, how much is he bringing in, how much is he producing? Yeah, the status is qualitatively different. Even if, yes, the dollars and cents might be the same equation, it's different because of the nature of the relationship. That's how I'm reading it. Oh, so the Mishnah's point is to say that when the master frees the Eved through a messenger, the slave is already freed when the messenger gets the document, the contract.
Because it's good for the Eved.
Because it's a good thing for the Eved, as opposed to the woman.
But this discussion about is the Eved worth having, so to speak.
Right.
Is this a prelude to
the
decision?
Presumably. Well, it's in order to establish what is and what isn't allowed by the master. So in this case, well, it's sort of like the Gemara says, or the Mishnah implied, that the allowance of the master or the husband is going to dictate whether it's a good thing for the wife. Meaning that if the husband is allowed to, so that must mean that it's a good thing for the Eved. If the husband is not allowed to, then it means it's a bad thing. So, for instance, the woman, the husband's not allowed to because it will be a bad thing for the wife. That kind of thing. But when we say the master of the Eved is allowed to, it must be because it's a good thing for the Eved. And now we're deciding, well, whether he should be allowed. So the Gemara is saying basically, well, it's a dollars and cents thing for the Eved. He should be allowed because it doesn't pay for him. So Tashema says in where Eved should go, Arei Miklat, if a slave is sent off to a Arei Miklat because he by accident killed somebody, Ein Rabo Chayv L'Zino, his master is not obligated to sustain him La'od El Shemasi Adav L'Rabo. Not only is he not obligated to sustain him, but anything that he does, anything that the slave does in the Arei Miklat, still goes to the master. Shemamina Yachal Rav Lama La'Eved Asei Mivi Eni Yisam Chas, the implication being therefore that yes, the master has the allowance to claim whatever he wants to the Eved based on whether or not he's bringing in enough money to make it a solvent arrangement. But probably requires a little more analysis there. So Hachmai Askinan says, no, that's not what's going on. The Amarlo, same as the Edech, the case there is not that the master can say, I'm not going to support you, and nonetheless, the Eved has to still work for him. So what it means is, that you can use your own labor and get your own sustenance. It says, if that's the case, why does the Brisa say that the acts or the production of the slave goes to his master while he's in Eir Mechel? Why would that be the case? It says, no, it doesn't mean that it has to go there, but laha adafa. Basically meaning, I think, the extras go to the right, meaning if he hits gold, all of a sudden he makes some kind of great business plan, and then No, you said mizonos, mizonos ma'aseidecha mizonos echa. You said that I can use my stuff for my sustenance. So now we're saying no. You're still an eved. You're still a slave. But whatever you need to live, that's the amount you can take for yourself. Anything extra goes to your master. That's what it means. So that's the Gemara. Wait a second. Hadaf of Shita, of course, he's his master. Of course, he gets anything extra that he doesn't need. So what would you have thought came into chilei slay because the eved is not being sustained by the master, therefore he doesn't have to give anything to the master. Lo yayiv le kevan dechileis le lo yayiv le.
Since you don't have to support him if he doesn't make enough.
Right, if the master doesn't have to give him anything.
Why would you give
the super? Lo yayiv le ki isle namilo yashko mine. Right, it should be a package deal. If he's not going to be there when it's, when it's tough, he can't all of a sudden chime in when it's going good and say, oh, that's mine, by the way. Right? You got to do it both ways. Kamash Mulan, no, he can be a walking contradiction. The master could completely neglect his slave when he's in need, and then he can come and collect the extras when the Eved's not in need.
How is that appropriate? I mean,
that's the nature of slavery. That's part of slavery. Yeah, I don't know the situation. I guess there's a certain value that we place on autonomy to the slave. The slave gets to sort of be on his own, take care of himself, and that itself is sort of like a payment of the master, that I'm not going to control you at all, even though it doesn't equate to a monetary value. So maybe that's what, I don't know. Umayishnala ari miklat. Why is it different when it comes to an ir miklat? Go away. Why is what different from what? Oh, I guess it's just saying, why do you have to teach me the unique case in Ari Miklat? Why can't you just teach me a general case where the master says to him, you say Mizono Secha Alecha type of thing. Says the Gemara Sakha, that's different. Maybe you would thought V'chai, the pasuk says V'chai, when you go to the Ari Miklat, you go there to live. Avila Chiyusa Tzvei, that maybe you have to give him more sustenance in order to allow him to live. Kamash Malan, it's the same thing as usual. But at the end of that same brisa, it says that when a woman is going to an ir miklat, she accidentally murdered somebody, so the husband still has to sustain her mechlal de lo amarla. It implies that he didn't say such a thing. He didn't say, he did not say to his wife that your production should go to your own sustenance. De amarla, because if he would have said that, bala my chayav, why would the husband be obligated to take care of her? Umi to save the la amarla from the fact that the end of the brisa doesn't mean that. So then reshinami the la amarla. So let's say that the beginning of the brisa also, when it's talking about the eved, let's say that that's also a case where he didn't have that stipulation, right? So we just reinterpreted the whole brisa to say that, oh, he said this to the eved, therefore it was fine. Says, well, why do you say that? He didn't say that to the woman. Says Gemara, Le'olam to Amarle. Really, he did say this to the Eved. Okay, so how do we square the circle when it comes to the woman, the end of it? But Ve'isha b'zilopas safka. When it comes to the woman, he could have said that. But even if he said that, it wouldn't be enough because the woman can't produce anything. And therefore, the husband is obligated to still give her, as opposed to the master is not obligated to give his split. Says the Rabbah Hamid Kan Seifa, Vim Amarla, Sibasi Adaif and Zonasaya, Rashaim Khad Reshadu Amarla. When it comes to the end of the Brisa where it says that the husband is allowed to say to his wife that go produce for your own sustenance, so the husband is allowed to say that, and he does not have to sustain her. But the implication is that he did not say that in the beginning of the mission, at the beginning of the Brisa, which is what we just said, that even if he would have said it and she's not able to produce, so then he would still have to give it to her. But that implies that he had said it. But here, the end of the verse sounds like he didn't say it. The first part, right? The end does say it. The beginning says it sounds like he doesn't say it. Says, if she's able to sustain herself with her own production, with her own labor, so then he can say the phrase, go use your own labor to support yourself. So then Rashai. But if she can't do that, if she doesn't produce enough for her own sustenance, so then we won't allow him to get away with that. We won't say, take care of yourself. We won't say that he can say, take care of yourself. That's the Gemara. Wait, the Maspekas, Milo Memra. If her labor is enough to support herself, so what's the big Kiddush? That's obvious that if she's able to produce enough to support herself, that her husband is allowed to say, okay, it's up to you, you can support yourself. This, by the way, I don't know if you remember this, but in Gemara's and Ksubas, we talked about that the whole basis of the Ksuba was so that he's gonna give to her based on the fact that she's gonna give to him. She's gonna produce stuff that all goes to him, and therefore in return he's going to commit, he's gonna sustain her. But if the whole point is that she's gonna sustain herself, so then he doesn't need to take care of her at all. Says the Gemara Ma'u the same, what would you have thought? Right, we just said it's obvious. It's obvious the woman who's able to produce should sustain herself. So why is that here we have to teach? Oh, if she can sustain herself, so he's allowed to say, you take care of yourself, I'm not going to do it. So that's obvious. Says the Gemara, no. You would have thought, kolt fuda bas melech penima, that the honor of a woman is inside. Meaning there's a modesty for a woman to be somewhat concealed. And therefore, it would be better for the husband to support her even if she's capable of taking care of herself. Kamash Malan, the Mishnah or the Brisa that comes to teach us, no, she's able to do that. She does not have to follow the implication of Kol Kvod V'Asma Al Penimah. Women can go out and work. She's not subjugated to stay in the house. Now, I think that it's a little underrated how much.
There's something about the difference between the regular and the club. If by regular she would go out of the house, where you're in the club, she would be working.
There's a practical aspect to it, for sure. For sure. What do you mean? Your miklat, she's out of the house.
No, but she would be working in a home. I'm not sure
I don't know. I don't know the practicalities of it. But the point is that women can go out and work. And I think some people mistake tradition or history as if it's some kind of expression of what women should do, when really historically women, just because of family roles, hygienics, or plumbing, you know, there just wasn't the allowance for women to go out and work like they can today. So it has nothing, much less to do with traditional roles as much as it has to do with innovations. That's my impression. But here you have to think more explicitly that if a woman's able to work, so then she can go out and work. She doesn't have to stay home and be so modest in this way. Welcome, Danny. We are on the bottom of 12A, towards the bottom of 12A. I don't know. I'd have to look at the Rambam. I don't have to see it in a sec. Now, as the Gemara says the Gemara now, let's say that this machlokas in the Braisa is really a machlokas tanaim. When we talk about whether the master is able to say to his servants, I'm not going to support you, you can support yourself. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Yachol Abed Lomar L'Rabba V'Shnei Vasares, that the master is able to say at a time of famine, O Parnaseini, O Hotzieni L'Cheres. The Abed is allowed to say to his master, either take care of me or let me go. He's allowed to say that because the master's not taking care of him. Right? One of the privileges that's bestowed upon, that's entitled, that the Abed is entitled to, is he's going to be taken care of. Yeah, he'll work, but he'll be taken care of. But in a time of famine, he's not being taken care of. So Abed's like, what gives? I'm not going to stay here for nothing. So now he's saying, either let me go or take care of me. You can't have it both ways. You can't have me and also not support me. So that's according to Rabbi Shimon Lomiel. The Chachamim Omer Harshus Biad Rabo. The master has the ability to decide whether he's going to free him or sustain him or neither. So my lab hakamusugi, why are they not arguing about the same thing? Mar Sever Yachol, that on the one hand the Chachamim think you're allowed to do whatever you want as a master, and the end Reb Shimon Gamliel thinks, no, you can't do whatever you want. You either have to support him or you've got to go and let him go. Says Mar Batispara, is that the same thing that we've been talking about? But Asemi Vini Zancha, where a person says, do for me, and I'm not going to support you. Hi, O Parnaseni, O Hosieni Lecheris. It has nothing to do with working and supporting. It has to do with freeing me and supporting me. So the Gemara says, O Parnaseni, O Temi Masayadai, Beparnasasimi Bayalai. If it's about whether the Eved can use his own production, his own labor, so it should have said that. But here it doesn't say that. It says going free. It's a completely different thing. So the Odin furthermore, Mashna Bishne Batoras. Why would it be anything different when it comes to a famine? Ella Hachma Ezkin must be different. The Amar Lo Tema Seidach Mazonosachu Bishne Batoras Lo Stopik. When it comes to a regular case, you could say that use your own labor to take care of yourself. But at a time of famine, it must be different because it's much more expensive, and therefore his production no longer is worthwhile or is no longer substantial enough to support himself. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Tzavar, O Parnasin Oseini Lecheres, Geich Duchazuli In Shimur Achmin Alai. Right? Maybe that's when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, when his production doesn't meet his own costs, so then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, he has the right to leave. Right? He has the right to say, either take care of me or let me go, so that I can go find somebody who is able to have mercy on me, to be kind to me. Rabbanan Zavri, Man Demirachim Abnei Chari, I have a Nami Rachum Yerachim. And the Chachamim are of the opinion that a person who is, who takes care on other people that aren't their slaves, they'll also take care of their servants that they're obligated to take care of.
No, that they'll find somebody to do tzedakah to the slave, even when he's still a slave. I mean, the first statement was, let me go free so I can get tzedakah. Somebody can take care of me.
Right, so the Chacham are like, we trust the master. So the Chacham say, no, he doesn't have to free him. He'll find a way to get him supported one way or another. We trust the master will take care of him somehow. Or that he'll be able to take somebody else could also. Okay. Tashabad Amarav, Hamakish Day Abdo. Someone who consecrates the hands of his slave. I think we had this back in Ksubas. Check. No, not this exact case. Maybe it was a woman's hand. But someone who consecrates anything his servant does, always goes to the Beis HaMikdash. Also, Eved Lova, hold on. And in this case, the master is not supporting or sustaining the Eved. So also Eved Lova, he can go out and borrow the Ochel and eat the Osa and do his work, Uporea, and then he could pay back his loan through whatever he does. Here's another case where maybe we can learn from here that the master has the allowance, has the right to say, do work for me, but I'm not going to support you. Because basically, the master made his work completely unusable. Right? Anything he does goes to the Beis HaMikdash.
It's very difficult to understand.
Yeah, I don't understand how it happens, but that's what it does. That you're allowed to as a master and a slave. So what's the case? No, but Malam Zonos, that's the case where he does give him food. And that's why the master is allowed to do that. But otherwise, he's not allowed to. Says the well, fine, Ihaki, if that's the case, Lo Vev Ochel, Ihaki L'may Lo Vev Ochel. So why is he taking a loan out to get his money? So he can get food. I thought you just said that the Evan in this case is giving him food. So no, laha adafa. That's referring to the master giving him mizonos, but only a little bit, and the Evan wants more. So then he's allowed to go and borrow more. Says Gemara v'lemele hektish. Why doesn't he say v'lemele hektish? Why doesn't he say? What does that mean? Oh, the treasurer of the Beit HaMikdash is going to say that? Lamele Hektish. Why doesn't the Hektish people in charge of the Beit HaMikdash stuff say, Ad Hashta Sagilach Vlohadacha? Until now, it's been okay for you without the extra. All of a sudden, you want to make extra. Why would the treasurer care about this?
Why do you seek more now? Consequently, the consecration should apply to this surplus as well.
Also, if he goes and gets a loan to get more food, so the guy, the treasurer, is like, hey, all your stuff goes to us. You don't need extra. You don't need this extra food. I guess that's what he's saying. The treasurer's trying to make an extra buck. It's like the Gil Stevens of the Beit HaMikdash, you know? Where's Gil when you need him? Gil, are you listening to this? If you are, I'm sure I'll get a note later. Oh, so that's a good question. The implication of Yado Lehekdash sounds like anything that he owns goes to Hekdash. That's what it sounds like. Okay, let's see. Says Gemara, Ose Uporeya.
No.
Oh, I skipped. So I've asked the Namitis Gilach below Hadafa, Hekdash Gufe Nichale, the Hekdash itself. What does that mean? Oh, so Gemara answers, Hekdash Gufei Nichalei, Kiyechi L'Shabach Abdei. It'll be good for the Hekdash to have a worker, an Eved, who's making more, ultimately.
So the treasurer wouldn't have any objection to that.
Right, something like that. It doesn't fully explain the nature of, or the dynamics of his possessions, but yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know for sure. Says Gemara Oseh Uporei, coming back to the statement of Rav, how could Rav have said that the Eved can go and borrow money for his own sustenance, and then Oseh, so then the Eved is going to do some work, Uporeya, and he's going
to
pay off his work. But once his once he does work, so that money goes all the way already to the basement. I understood this by implication that the assumption is that when you have a loan, that the loan comes before the Hekdash. But apparently now the Gemara is disagreeing with that. It's saying, kama kadish lay. Before he even gets to pay back the loan, it's all going to be Hekdash. The Prophet Shavaputa says, Gemara, no, he keeps doing something which is less than Shavaputa, and therefore only Shavaputas go to the Beit HaMikdash. But in this case, when it is less than Shavaputa, he can pay off his loan 25 cents at a time, or whatever it is. That similarly, the Ilo Avda Man Palachle. So Rav says, someone who a similar brace quotes Rav as saying that the master who consecrates his Eved's hands, so that Eved can work and then eat from his work. Because if he doesn't work, so who's going to sustain him, and therefore he's not going to be able to give to Kachin. If this is the case where the master is actually sustaining the Eved still, he's not able to say, I'm not supporting you, and he's not able to consecrate his hands, if that's what you were to say. And when Rav said that the Hekdash is not going to take place and the Eved could work on his own to just sustain himself, that's in the case, when Rav said that, it's in the case where it's eno mala, where the master did not say he takes care of himself. So then that makes sense. Because the master is not obligating the servant in a time where he's got to take care of himself. Eli Amar, but if you're going to tell me that when Rav said that the Hekdash works and everything he makes goes to the base of the Mikdash, v'she'eno ma'ala, but and also in a case where the Eved is not allowed to get his own mizonos, or so that the master is not taking care of his mizonos, v'yachol, and you're going to tell me that the master is still allowed to say, I'm not going to take care of you. So then how does it make sense when it says the words, the ilo avda ma'an palachle? If he doesn't work for himself, how is he going to get sustenance? Because in that case, Rav would still hold, he's allowed to say it. So who cares if he's not getting sustenance? Man divay niflechei. Whoever wants to support his slaves, so fine. Whoever wants to will do it. So why would that be a problem? The ilo avda man palachle. Who cares about the eved sustenance? He'll get it from somewhere. Elash hamina enu yachol. Rather, we hear from here, we learn from here that Rav thinks you're not allowed to say to your eved, do work for me, and you're going to get no sustenance. Your hands are going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and I'm not going to support you. Clearly, he's not allowed to say that. He has to leave an out, whether through himself, meaning the master through himself, or the Eved through his own work. He has to give him some kind of recourse to support himself. Shmamina, so we learned from Rav that even Rav believes that the master is not allowed to say, do work for me, and I'm not going to support you. He's got to give the master, he's got to give the servant some kind of out to allow him to continue getting sustained internally. He's not able to force him to go look for food elsewhere. Tashima, that maybe there is another person that says even more than that. A master is allowed to subjugate the slaves, and he is allowed to completely remove all sustenance. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakotea Yad Avdo Shel Chavera. What? Somebody cuts off the hand of someone else's slave. So what is the Olam for such a heinous act? Note in Shifto, Ufras L'Rabo, he has to give him Sheves, which is the amount of money that he's no longer getting from his work. Right? The guy, was a transcriber. What's it called? What am I thinking of?
Stenographer.
He was a stenographer. And now he cut his hand off. So whatever that stenographer got paid, whatever his salary was, now this guy who cut his hand off has to pay that to the master. And whatever healing, medicinal charges, medicinal costs go also to the master. But that master, that slave, is now supported from tzedaka. So that implies that the master doesn't have to. The master is allowed to say to the slave, sorry, you're still subjugated to me, but I'm not going to give you anything. Says, well, no, it can't be. It must be a case where he's giving. So why does it say he's coming from tzedaka? That's for extra. It should say he's being given parnasa. And if it's extra. El alav shmamina yachol. Shmamina, wow, I did not see that happening. I thought there was going to be a bigger fight for that one. But he's basically saying, oh yeah, it didn't say the word lizo, it said the word nizon instead of the word mefarnes. So it must be true. It must be the case that he's completely getting all his sustenance from the tzedakah and not from his master. And that's what we're concluding here, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, a master could abuse his slave and not give him anything and make him go out and make his wares somewhere else. Kind of crazy. So Amar Mar, we said before, Nosin Shifta Refuah Slarabba. We said before that you have to give the Sheves and you have to give the Refuah. Shifto, Pshita, of course you have to give the Shifto, because you made him not work anymore. Refuah, so it's Trichilei. But once you say that, of course you have to give the medicine also. So Gemara says, Refuah, so Didehu, Debai Ithasuye Bei. Maybe you would think you give the money for the medicine to the Eved himself, Kamash Mala, and the money goes to the master. Is that what it's saying?
That's the question
you give
to the master.
Oh, it's a question here. Refuasa didehi, debai itasuyebe. So it says the Gemara, lo tricha de amduha lechamsha yome. They evaluated it that it's only going to be 5 days worth that he needs medicine.
They overestimated how much it would cost, so there's excess money.
Oh, there's extra money. For Avdulei Sama Harifa, and they used an extra strong dose of medicine. Vitase Bitlasi Yome, all of a sudden he got better in only 3 days. So now the Tema Tarji Dehu, let's say that the Eved was in extra pain in order to get it done in 3 days instead of five, and therefore the extra money should go to the Eved, because he's the one that has to endure all that extra pain in order to get it done in 3 days. Kamash Malan, no, we don't care about the pain of the servant, and really that money goes to the master. The extra goes to the master. Yeah. This sounds a little bit like insurance fraud.
Yeah.
Right? You told the insurance company it's going to cost you $10,000. Oh, lo and behold, it only costs $5,000. And now you get to keep the extra $5,000. I don't know if that's more complicated than this, but... Maybe it's a tuition thing too, yeah.
Insurance fraud, just one of those things that happen.
Yeah. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Elazar, I'm Arna Lola Meir. We have this brace that says, Rabbi Elazar said, we said to Meir. Me and somebody else, Rabbi Elazar saying, I and somebody else said to Meir. Oh, Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah had said that the master is still able to go and take back the document freeing the slave before it gets to the slave, even though the Chachamim say, Zachon la'adr shalom b'fanav, it's a good thing for the slave to be freed. So why are we saying that he's allowed to undo it already? Still, even though it's already given, even though it's already given to the messenger. Once the messenger gets it, halos chusu le'avet shosim b'tach te'ir rabbi l'chiris. And that's Zachon la'adr shalom b'fanav. It should already take place when you give the document to the Eved, to the shliach, on behalf of the Eved. So Amar Lanu and Rabbi Meir said back to us, Chov Hulo, no. It's a bad thing. It's a bad thing for the servant to not have a master anymore. Sheim Haya Eved Kohen, Post Lamanat Truma. Because if the Eved Kohen means he was a slave of a Kohen. Meaning the Kohen was giving him Truma. And now he's not able to collect from Truma anymore once he's free. So that's why it's a Chov, it's not a Chus. And it's not going to happen automatically. So Amar Lo, we said to him, Meir, Balo Ma'im Yirtzeh Shalom Zunav Shalom Farnel Hasar Rashai. But at the same time, the master at any point could say, I'm not giving you any money anymore. And he's stuck. So then it's a good thing to be under your own power. Right? There are a lot of, political junkie implications here. About communism and capitalism and owning your own labor. Right? The Eved, yes, okay, the master's taking care of him right now. But the master could turn off the spigot at any point. In which case, the Eved wants to break free. Just that anxiety that at any time the master could take away my food, that alone is something that it's a good thing to not have to worry about. So says the Rebbe Meir, Amar Lanu, Rebbe Meir says back to us, Uma ilu Eved Kohen Shabarach Veishas Kohen Shamarda Al Bala Hala Ochlu Metruma Vizeh Eno Yachol. The freeing of the slave is still a bad thing for him, because when a slave of a Kohen runs away and a woman who's married to a Kohen rebels, neither of them can eat Truma. No, they're able to eat Truma. Even if they were to run away, they're able to eat Truma. No, hello, Oakland. Hello means, and behold, they are. They are permitted to eat it. And Rabbi Meir is saying, Vizeh, once you assume that he's a freed slave, I mean, he didn't just run away. He's a freed slave, so then he can't eat Truma. He can only eat Truma while he's still under contract. Even if he ran away, he's still under contract. So yeah, the master might not be sustaining him, but even while he's not sustaining him, he's allowed to eat truma in a theoretical sense. So aval isha chov hula. When it comes to Rabbi Meir, everyone agrees it's still a bad thing for the woman to get divorced. She can't pass from truma umasidim and amazonos. She not only loses truma, she also loses her sustenance from the husband. My kamrulei umai kamahader lehu. Asks the Gemara, what is this discussion between the Chachamim and the Rebbe Meir? What do you mean? What's the problem here? Oh, what did Rebbe Meir mean when he said, what about this running away thing? I assumed it meant he's not being sustained, but let's see what the Gemara says. Hachi Kamarlu, Hei Shabtuni Al Hamazonos. Rebbe Meir is saying to the Chachamim that when you said the masters could all of a sudden just stop giving him sustenance, I responded to you about Mazonos. Since the master is not obligated to sustain him, he doesn't lose anything when he's freed. So then, Ma Teshuvini Al HaTruma, what would you say about the Truma? And then Rabbi Meir continued and said, V'chi temru, iba yizarek legitza upasole. And if the master wants it, he could throw away the get, or throw him a get and just free him, and thereby pasul him from truma. Rabbi Meir is sort of saying this as a rhetorical question. V'chi tomru, and if you, the Chachamim, would say, if he wants to, we could just get rid of him and possibly from Shuma.
So
I don't know if this, hold on. So if you say to me that the freeing is not a chov, because the master could just possibly him, oh, okay, I think what it's saying is like this. The Eved, if it's a bad thing for an Eved, the Eved should have some kind of say in it. But he doesn't have any say, because the master could just throw the get at him and say, okay, you're out of here. Meaning there's nothing that's holding back the master from doing that, which implies that it is must be a good thing that we allow the master to do that. It must be fine that if the master wants to, we can all of a sudden disqualify him. So says Rebbe Meir, no, that's not a good reasoning. Shavit le v'arik v'azul alma. That's not a good response, because the master, the slave, could run away and not get the get. He could run away and still get truma afterwards. And therefore, it's not clear that it's automatically a good thing because we allow the master to do it. We don't really allow him to do that. The Eved can run away and prevent that from happening. Uma ilu Eved koin shabarach. Veshes koin shamar da ba'alach lo ochel mitruma v'ze'enu ochel. That's basically his point, which is that even if the Eved ran away, he could still eat from truma. So the Gemara says, Shafar kamar luhu. That's a good point Rabbi Meir made to him. Yeah. All right. We'll get back to the Mishnah Meir Hashem tomorrow, which is how Rava is going to answer that question. Wow. Yeah.